Right, we started on the theme this month, which is Be Strong. And we've looked at different things. The real focus is me. The real focus is you. How do we become strong, or how do we get stronger if we're strong already? And we started off looking at, of course, what it means to be strong. But then we realized that our strength depends on who speaks into us, who we speak into, and those influencing us, either negatively or positively. So we need to do a radical review of relationships and associations. And then we went on to start looking at the areas we need to be strong in. So I need a teenager and I need a young child to tell us, okay, and I've got some presents here, actually. I've got some presents. Now, which one is for the, is that the medium? Okay. So I need a teenager, that's if you're in secondary school and above, and if you're in primary school. So if you're in primary school, my question to you today is, can you tell us the, let me try and stretch the children, what was the topic of 2 Sundays ago? So all the children, did you raise up your hand, Daniel? Daniel is using giraffe method. only the aged know, understand what giraffe method is. All right, so I need the child in primary school to tell us the topic 2 Sundays ago. Any child? Yeah? Any child in the house? Going. There goes my present. Okay. Maybe I should ask. The question is too hard. Okay, my wife is pleading on behalf of the children. Okay, you come up with a question and tell me, and I will ask the children. So this one is for the teenagers. What was the topic last Sunday? And give me one Bible verse that we used last Sunday. So if you're in secondary school, I've got a present for you. What was the topic? If you know it, please don't be humble to say you don't want to tell us the answer. What was the topic last Sunday? And if you're online, actually, please, it's open to people online too. So if they can type it in, then they win the prize. So please, can the media help monitor if people are answering online? Last Sunday's topic, and give us a Bible verse. Are you in secondary school, sir? Sorry? You want to try the teenager's one? Do you want to win a teenager's prize? Okay. Is anybody answering online? Okay, please, can I have a microphone for him? Can we have a roving microphone? Okay. Yes, give it to Daniel. Daniel wants to tell us, and you're going to give us a scripture.
I didn't write down the verse.
You didn't write down, so you are indirectly telling us that it is written. So what the answer you're about to give is what is written. All right, what's the topic? Yeah, just switch on the mic.
The topic is,
sorry, the mic is not on, so that the people at home can hear him. Okay, thank you.
The topic is be strong, committed, consistent, and considerate.
And be considerate. Did he get it right? Okay, let's clap for him. Be strong, be committed, be consistent, and be considerate. Now, you've just won yourself a t-shirt that says, "The UK shall be saved." Please let us celebrate Prophet, Apostle, Pastor Daniel. Do you want to get it? Okay. This is from my friend, all right, the pastor of Open Well Church. So, Judah Cole, thank you for bringing that word to us. And also, on behalf of Love Assembly, and Open Well, and what's that event in the summer?
Jesus Loves.
Jesus Loves. I present to you this this garment of praise. No, you can wear it. It's too big. Please clap. Clap. You can take it off when you get to your seat. Don't worry. That's why you are a mother. I'm a father. We dads do crazy things, don't we? All right, that's it. So the UK, you will preach the gospel, brother. You can take it off now. You can take it off. Okay. We will think of a question for the teenagers. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. This is your church. We're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. There's absolutely nothing we know. There's nothing I know except what you reveal. I just surrender my spirit, my soul, my body. I yield my heart to you. There is a spirit in man. It is your inspiration that gives understanding. Lord God Almighty, breathe upon me afresh. Inspire me to hear, to see what you're saying. And Lord, give me the grace to simply deliver what you are saying. And I pray upon every heart, Holy Spirit, brood upon the hearts of your people. Turn every heart into a good ground. Remove every stony heart. Remove everything you've not planted. Give us a clean and a pure heart to receive the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. And I pray what we hear will be specific, will be instructive, will be a specific situation, in a specific situation that somebody specifically is in, that Lord, you will specifically address today. And thank you, because we will be fruitful. As we hear, we will do what you're saying to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Please, the media team, can you check your volume? And also, please make sure that the volume level going out into the media space is also high. I think it was a little bit low last week. So just check what's going out to the public. And please, those at home, if you can hear us very clearly, just help us by typing that, yes, loud and clear. You didn't have to be turning up your device to struggle to hear what we're saying. Amen. So it's the part two today. Be strong, be committed, be consistent, and be considerate. Once again, please pardon me. I will be talking about what the way God's been dealing with me personally in my life. And of course, talking about what God says in his word. So last week, we looked at commitment, what it means, what commitment means. So come with us again to Matthew chapter 5, and let's read from verse 33. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform the oaths, your oaths, to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no, for whatever is more than this is from the evil one. That passage summarizes what commitment means. Commitment means when I say yes, I mean yes. When I say no, I mean no. I don't say yes when actually in my heart, I mean no. I don't say no when in my heart, I mean yes. And Jesus clearly tells us that anything outside of yes, yes, no, no, is from the evil one. You see, people, we are doing a radical review of so many things about our lives, and especially this new year. In all sincerity, if we are going to be strong, the Bible says that if we faint in the day of adversity, then our strength is little. One version says, if we should collapse, if we should, literally give up when there's crisis, when there are tribulations, when there are challenges, then we are a poor specimen. You know, manufacturers, when they're manufacturing a product, after they make the product, for example, those who build cars, they will test the car. They will test the car for the durability, for the resilience, for the strength. So what do? They make the car, go through very adverse weather conditions. They create it. You know, when it's raining, how does this car perform? How does it cope? When it's snowing, how does this car? So they create all these artificial adverse weather conditions. When there's a storm, how does the car maneuver? Does it stay? Does it slid on the road? What are the tires like? And of course, they test the glass. They will get maybe a sledgehammer and see at what point does the windscreen collapse. That is how to test a product. And listen, where did man get that wisdom from? From the Almighty God. You say, where is that written? God was going to start the faith walk with mankind, with a man called Abraham. And God one day had to test him. The Bible tells us that God tested Abraham. Abraham, I want you to go and sacrifice your son, the one you love. He was specific. Take him to the mountain and sacrifice him on a mountain that I will show you. That was a test of Abraham's faith and Abraham's loyalty to God. Listen, people, commitment is not known until it is tested. If you say you are committed to something, get ready, it is going to be tested. And when you pass the test, it shows truly you are committed indeed. When God took Abraham through that testing, do you know what God said thereafter? Now I know, since you've not withheld your son from, you know, obeying me to sacrifice him, I know now that, yes, there's nothing that you will not do when I tell you to do it. Some of us are going through testings right now. We don't realize that it's a test. Some of us are going through challenges right now. You don't realize it's a test. Or you are going through some adverse situation, some adversity, some form of tribulation. It is a test. Listen, I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. The Bible is clear about what adversity comes to do. It is to show us how strong we are. So if you buckle, if you give up, if you surrender, if you collapse, in whatever situation you are going through now, is to let you see how strong you are or how weak you are, as the case may be. Now, don't hit yourself on the head. Don't blame yourself for collapsing. Just realize, wait a minute, I thought I was strong, and now I realize I'm not. Let me be vulnerable, very, very vulnerable. You know, I remembered, you know, I didn't take my wife's permission, so I will share it in a sugar-coated way. I remembered, so Samuel, you're my benchmark again, when, you know, my wife and I were cutting and all that, you know, holy brother, holy sister, and, you know, I say, yeah, I can't be tempted. I would never be tempted until we get married. When I began to fall in love somewhere, every day, it was temptation. Temptation to do, you know, what you shouldn't do. But I thank God, when we look back today, God delivered us because God showed me that you are weak. Stop boasting. You are very, very weak and you need my strength. And to the glory of God, one day my wife and I had to sit down, well, she was my fiancée then, kneel down and say, God, help us before we blow it, before we marry it. You know, if you are not married, don't do what married people do. That's a code because we've got children in the house. So mommies and daddies, children ask you at home that what was speaking in tongues. When you grow up, you would know the interpretation. All right? But we understand. So those were the testings. Some of us are boasting. Nah, I can never fall. Nah. I remember one brother too. He saw me one night. Said, look, brother, I just want to warn you. I noticed that, you know, you're always visiting your fiancé and you're staying too late. It's dangerous. Stop staying late in the night. I'm just warning you because I love you, brother. This guy was a single brother. So he didn't have any fiancé. But he saw me with my fiancé and I, you know, always used to stay in the house very late, you know, till late and I'll be going home. In our parents' house. Thank you for correcting me. My wife she came straight from her parents' house to her new parents' house. I always tell my wife, you know, I'm your father. I'm your father in the Lord. And you are my mommy. All right. So equation balanced. You know, this guy will want me. I'm just telling you because I love you, brother. I said, okay, thank you for your advice. Of course, I got into trouble one night, staying late. I've shared the story before, fell into the hand of vigilantes. That day, I learned my lesson. I stopped staying late. But then, fast forward, years after, I and my wife were now married, and brother, holy brother, now was now engaged. I saw him 1 a.m. coming from his fiancée's house. I said, bro, how you doing, bro? He winked at me, saying, I know, you know. It's not one of those things. Excuse me, you are not strong until you pass temptation. Some of us are just so holy. We think we're strong. And you are counseling other people. I tell people, if you are not married, don't ever counsel people who are married. I don't care what revelation you have. You know, you don't know jack about marriage. You know, no jack, whatever that means anyway, that's tongue. Adversity, trouble, is just to let you see, hey, I'm not as strong as I thought. And that is why the Bible says, be strong in the Lord. In ourselves, we can never find that strength. I am telling you, go to every motivational speaker, go to every self-development, go to any Guru Marhaji or Guru Masters, leadership, strength, self-will, you will collapse. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I realize, and I'm realizing every single day how weak I am and how strong God is. Like John the Baptist, he said, I must decrease. And he, Jesus, must increase. Our journey of faith must be summarized with that. And we are as strong as our commitments. If you're afraid to make commitments, it shows you are a weak character. Oh, you know, I don't want to make commitments because I might fail. We recognize that, and every one of us who is sincere in their hearts will at some point also realize that you don't want to fail, so because of fear of failure, you don't make commitments. You are a weak person. You should be committed to something. Listen, you are on this earth because someone was committed to bring you into this earth, was committed to carry you 9 months. Some people were committed to make sure you were delivered safely. And when there was complication, some people were committed to see you through the complication. This earth works because people are committed. And if you say you don't want to be committed to anything, you are a weak character. But the question now is, from last week, what are the things we should be committed to? If you say yes, please mean yes. If you say no, please mean no. It starts from the heart. And today we'll look a little bit about that and then look at consistency and then we'll look at consideration. three areas that we must show strength in: be strong in commitments, be consistent, and be considerate. If you are a committed, consistent, and a considerate individual, then you are a strong person. Now, let me just give us a little bit of English interpretation of what it means to be committed. It's a state or quality. It is a state. Please note that. State or quality of being dedicated to a cause. And one of the things that commitment does is it restricts our freedom. I'm committed to my wife, so I'm not free to mingle with singles. Do you understand? I'm committed to my wife. I shouldn't be hanging around single ladies and singing songs like all the single ladies. Are you getting me? Commitment restricts your freedom, your liberty to do whatever you like. Let me tell you, the most dangerous people on this planet are people who want to do what they like, when they want to do what they like, how they want to do what they like, and do what they like. I've told us some things God is telling us to end. Listen, there's a difference between stopping something and ending something. Many years ago, God spoke to me to end a relationship. End it. And I was scared. And because I was scared that I will hurt the person that God told me to end relationship with, I told the person, and the person was very hurt and was crying. And I said I was joking. Yeah. Because I don't know how many of you, maybe you are very strong, but I'm telling you something, my weakness, okay? If I tell you my weakness, just know it's now become my strength in the Lord. I don't like hurting people. I don't like making people cry. I just don't like it. Naturally, I'm a person, believe me, I am loyal to you to a fault. I am, if I'm friends with you, I'm friends with you. Kill me, stab me, I will still remain loyal. But then I began to understand when I became a Christian that there's a difference between hurting somebody and harming somebody. Because that's what it means actually to be considerate. And we will get to that. I was scared of this person. I was scared of hurting them. Now, what was the problem? I became a believer. I got saved. I gave my life to Jesus. And God began to show me relationships in my life I must end. And I had to end this relationship. The tragic thing was I entered the relationship when I just became a believer. The person wasn't sharing the same faith with me and all that. And God said, end this relationship. So I went. And I was scared because the person was hurt. So I said I was joking. So I didn't end it. I tried to stop the relationship. So I didn't end it. And then 4 years after, the relationship came to an end. After I'd got my fingers burnt many times. And I ended up hurting this person. I don't know if the person's even watching now. I'm wondering you. You know those kind of things, you know, when you are there. Felicia knows what I'm talking about. When you are there, and now you are here. And those who are still there are looking at you. We give you 5 weeks, you come back here. You know? And they say, no, it's deceiving. No, we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Passed away means they have ended. Don't try to keep something God is telling you to end. So I stopped the relationship. I didn't end it. 4 years after it ended, tragically, I ended up hurting the person. But let me tell you something. I didn't harm the person. I only hurt them. When God is saying end something, some people will be hurt. But look at your heart. I'm jumping into consideration now. Are you hurting this person? But you're not harming them. God is telling you, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. If you end the relationship, you're going to hurt the person. But at the end of the day, are you harming them? Or are you harming yourself? That's known as self-harm. If you love yourself, I will never forget. God spoke to me. First time in my life, I will hear God's audible voice. If you truly love her, end the relationship. What an irony. If you truly love her, end the relationship. Anyway, I tried to stop it, went on and it ended. What's the difference between hurting someone and harming someone? Let me use an analogy somebody used, so I'm borrowing this. It's not my original thought, but it made a lot of sense. You have somebody who's selling sweets. Hey, tea man, which of the teas is that? You want to ask a question? Please give me a microphone. I love children. We pause. I don't joke when children raise their hands. Sorry, I'm not your regular preacher. Sorry, I'm not like that. I flow with the flow. Yes, what's your question? Is that T-shirt? T-shirt, is that you? What's that? Who's that? T. Toluwani. Okay. Please check your mic. Is it working? What do you want to say? Quickly. I don't mind stopping a whole message just to listen to a child. Jesus did it. And I'm becoming like Jesus.
I want to answer the question.
You want to answer the question?
Yeah.
What's the question?
Hurting is inflicting minor pain on someone.
Sorry? Hurting?
Hurting someone is inflicting minor pain on someone.
It's inflicting minor pain on someone, okay?
Man, harming someone is putting a lot of pain on them.
Harming someone is putting a lot of pain on them.
Yes.
All right, that's a good item. Please, let's celebrate and clap for him. Thank you very much. Okay? Honestly, I'd rather... I stay in the church with full of children. You know why? Because we adults, we are set in our ways. Very set. We can mold children, but adults, they need breaking. Including me, okay? Until you break an adult, they don't learn. But a child, we can still mold. Just mold. Still take some things away though, but you mold. All right, thank you for that, Toluwani. All right. Somebody who is selling you sweets, okay, children, chocolate, strawberry sweet, all the manner of sweets, okay, and somebody who is a dentist, if you want to choose between the two of them, all the children in the house, if mommy and daddy says, I'm taking you out today, let's go for a treat. Choose between going to the sweet man, the sweet shop, or going to the dentist. Which one will you choose? Okay, adults are also allowed to participate. Doc, I know you're a doc. Your doctoral mind will answer the question. So you are exempted, sir. I can issue you an exemption certificate. All right. Yeah. Who way will you go? The sweet man. Where will you go, Nathan?
I will go to the dentist.
You will go to the dentist. You are too holy, bro. Yes, Tiffa, Tisha. I'll come back to you, yeah? You go to the sweet shop. Andrew?
Sweet shop.
Yes, Toluwani again. You go where? The sweet shop. Nathan, why will you go to the dentist? Why are you going against the grain? Why are you going against popular opinion? You wouldn't go to the sweet shop because? Because what? Who will give you cavities? Sweets will give you cavities. But the dentist, what will the dentist do to you? Why the dentist?
It will help you get bad stuff
out of you. All right. The dentist will help you get bad stuff out of you. Bro, you don't belong to your generation. Yeah. Even adults will choose a sweet shop. But listen, the sweet man will give you sweets, and when you take all those chocolates and all that, they will spoil your teeth and they will harm you. The dentist will check that teeth and uproot it. It's very painful. How many of us have gone to the dentist and I have some scars here. I don't have my premolar again. Yeah. The dentist is going to hurt you by taking out your teeth. But has he harmed you? It's going to be painful. The sweet man will not only hurt you, will harm your toothpaste smile. And when you're an adult like some of us, you now realize that your adult dentition is actually not complete. If I remember my human biology, 2 over 2, 1 over 1, 2 over 2, 3 over 3. Is that correct? That's the, what do you call that? Dental formula. Is that what it's called? Even doctor has forgotten. 2 over 2, 1 over 1, 2 over 2, 3 over 3. Incisor, canine, premolar. Please clap for me. Clap for me. Clap for me. Don't worry, you get it one day. It's too advanced. Too advanced for you now. What year are you now? You're in year 4. Maybe when you get to year 5 or 6, they'll teach you dentition, 2 over 2. That's not what I'm preaching. Excuse me. When God is telling us to stop something, to end something because God knows it's going to harm us, end that relationship because it's going to harm you eventually. Stop it. Sorry. End it because it's going to harm you. Stop it because you don't want to get hurt or you don't want to hurt somebody. At the end of the day, you are harming yourself. All right. I'm just all over the place. Okay. What are the things you should be committed to? Let me run through that. Committed to God, number one, because God himself is committed to us. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, so will I be with you all the days of your life. That is commitment. God demonstrates commitment to us. He says, I will never leave nor forsake you. That is commitment. God, the Bible says, all the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes and amen. So be it. God is committed, and we are created in the image and in the likeness of God. So you and I must not be afraid of commitment. Let's be committed first to God. Last week we learned it. Any commitment you make it as unto the Lord. That will help you. I'm committed to do this. Say it like you're doing it to the Lord. Why? Because God sees your heart. And if sincerely you want to do something, and you don't have the means to do it, that's when God comes in. I'm telling you, I'm committed to not sinning. I'm committed to not messing up with my fiancé, with my wife. I'm committed to be faithful, to be loyal. So help me God. That's where God comes in. But your heart must be sincere. Don't say, yeah, I'm committed to my wife, but you know inside you are not. Because God sees your heart, that is when it's of evil. Will you do this? There's this need here. There's this work to be done in the church. Will you do it? Yes. But deep down inside you, you know. Like I said, please, don't be intimidated by any man of God. At least don't be intimidated by me. You can say no to me. Little children say no to me in school. There's nothing I can do. Their no is no. We adults should learn that and train our children. When they say yes, they mean yes. It doesn't mean you're a yes man, but check your heart, okay? You're committed to the Lord, your source. You're committed to me, you. You're committed to your own life and your purpose in life. If you don't know your purpose in life, ask your maker. It's very simple. For many years, I was praying that prayer. Lord, what is my purpose in life? Lord, why am I here? Pray that prayer every day. I'm telling you, one way or the other, God has his own way of communicating his purpose to you. It is not a problem. Only ask and keep asking. So you're committed to me and my purpose in life. Number three, you are committed to people. Listen, that God brings into your life. How do you recognize people God brings into your life? Let me tell you, number one, the family you're born into. Did you choose them? No. God chose them. And when you don't have a biological family, God will put you, the Bible says the solitary will put them in families. God will now bring you into a church family. Be committed to your church family. Be committed. Be committed. Let's be brethren, brothers, sisters, indeed, not just with our words, let our actions show. And please, let me say this. God is more interested not in what we do, but in what we are. That's the mistake we make. Because what you are will reflect in what you do. If you're an inconsistent, weak personality, it will reflect in what you do. So check yourself. Why is it that when I say I will do this, I don't do them? It's a sign of your character, of what you are. And let me tell us this. A lot of people I know want to do this. Yeah, I want to do this in church. Yeah, I want to do this. Let me tell you, the reward we get, and I'm saying this on this 17th anniversary, I know better now after 17 years of leading this church, and glory be to God, having experience of, you know, pastoring, you know, long before then. Listen, people make the mistake to think they get reward from God because they sing in the choir or they play the keyboard. I'm not attacking anybody. Or they beat the drum. Yeah, Samuel is nodding. Right? Or you even lead prayer. Or you even stand and you're the pastor. You don't get a reward for that. Your reward is that you did what God created you to do on this earth. If you are committed to your purpose on this earth, it will reflect in, if I will guide you in what commitments you should make. For example, now if they approach me now, oh, we've seen your leadership skills, you are such a good, we see how you influence people and all that, we want to make you the president of the Lions Club. And I say, yeah, I'll do it. My commitment to my purpose in life, my calling, does not give me the privilege to do that. Let me go closer and come home. I was told one time to, you know, coordinate some cities and all that in sports and all that in within the organization that we represent. And I looked at my life, I looked at my commitments, I looked at my family, I looked at my my local assembly and all that. No. And I had to decline. It was a big position with a big title. Provincial this. Some of us, that's all we want. Title. You are committed to title. Once they just give you title, your head just swells. Title, listen, some of us have taken on titles now that are harming us. If you understand your purpose, you will know what to commit to and what not to. And it shows your personality. So be committed to God, to yourself, and your purpose in life, to people God brings into your life. So the fourth thing is your purpose. You have to understand the purpose behind everything before you commit to it. If you don't understand the purpose of something, if in doubt, please ask. Commitment is not by force, people. It's by choice. You still have a choice. I told us the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their land. They brought the money. And they asked them, is this how much they sold it? They said, yes. They said, yes. When the answer actually was no, judgment of God fell. And sadly, we're having people, Lord have mercy, in the church of God, Christians, who cannot commit to things, say yes and mean yes. Say no and mean no. It's a radical review of our character. Singing in the choir, or serving or cleaning is not what will take you to heaven. Please, let us separate that. It's who you are, your character, and what you are becoming, and if you are fulfilling the purpose for which God created you. People just mistake that. No. You know, when I serve very well and sing very well in the choir, when I do ushering very well and I smile at people, that's straight ticket to heaven. You can be an usher and go to hell. You can be a pastor and go to hell. It's not what you do God is interested in. It's what you are, what you are becoming. Please separate that. If we focus on that purpose, some years ago, God asked me, what's the purpose of the church? And I sat down and I was thinking. And I had to ask myself and go back into the world, what is church? The body of Christ. What's the purpose of the church? Simple. When Christ was going, he gave the church a mandate. Matthew chapter 28, 18 to 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am committed to you till the end of the earth if you continue to do what I sent you to do. That's when God is committed to us. And when we are committed to his purpose, the purpose of the church is souls. Souls is not to come and sing in the choir. It's not for somebody to stand on the pulpit and, you know, be displaying. And, you know, we have all the razzmatazz, lights. Hey. That is not the purpose. Excuse me, when last did you win a soul? When last did you influence someone and pointed them to Christ? We're struggling for power, struggling for position, struggling for this, struggling for that in the house. You are a light. Light works in the darkness. Light doesn't work in the light. God forbid. I've had to turn down so many things. I'm not interested in position. I'm not. I'm interested in my purpose. I stay focused. God brings people into your life. Ask, Lord, why is this person around me? You're committed to the people God brings into your life. It's either for a season, for a moment, whatever. If you join a church family, be committed. Even if you are going to be here for a week. A body is healthy because all the parts are committed to the body and functioning. That is what we are as church. It's about souls. Souls, people. Let's get our orientation right. That is the business of the church. That's the business of the church. I thank God for giving us the privilege 17 years after that we realize we have a global platform. We're online and souls are watching. And to the glory of God, like I told us last week, for the first time in the history of Love Assembly as a church, as a local parish in this city of Liverpool, we became so fruitful, so productive, prospered under lockdown. Because I believe God was resetting his church, like Jesus came into the temple and drove people out. What were they doing in the temple? They had turned the church into a business center, selling doves, exchanging money. You know, people come to church now to socialize. And when the social atmosphere is no longer welcoming, they look for another social club down the road called church. We come here to be equipped so we can go out there and shine our light. That's why Isaiah 60, Project Isaiah 60, so paramount now. What are your gifts? What are your skills? What are your talents? Bring your gifts, bring your talents. Come together. Let's go and shine our light. Jesus said, let your light so shine that men, the world, will see your good works and then give the glory to God. We're talking about manifesting his glory. That is what it means. Part of what it means. Let's get our priorities right. Tell people, you want to do this? I want to do this. I want to do this. That's not your reward, people. That's not what God rewards you for. In your workplace, even without talking, can they say that person is different? Or you are in your workplace, after fighting for position in the church, the next place in the workplace, you are fighting for position. Can you see where we get warped in our religiosity? You fight here. In the workplace, you fight. In your neighbor, what they know you for is fight. On the street, fight. And you say, I was born a fighter. That's not the fight. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. Please, let's redefine, let's understand what God has called us onto as a church. And I told us, we can have all the numbers in this world, if we don't have the fruit or the character, we are deceiving ourselves. Jesus spent 3.5 years training just 12 people. What a waste. Towards the end, Samuel, there were a crowd. People started thronging and following. Do you know, he was impressed. So one day he said, okay, no problem. My meat is to do the will of him who called me, who sent me. And you know what? Unless you eat my body, you drink my blood, you have no part in me. He said, this guy, we'll be watching him. And I'm just imagining now. No wonder. So this is the secret of his power. He's a cannibal, and he's now teaching cannibalism so that we eat his body, we eat his flesh. So that's where he gets his power. He must be a witch, a wizard, who's flying in the night and eating people's flesh and sucking their blood. They said, this is too hard. The Bible says, John 6:66, John chapter 6, verse 66. From that day, many left him. I tried to look at Jesus' trajectory of ministry. He started one man, two men, three, he raised 12, and then 70, and then multitudes, and then crowd, and then towards the end of his ministry, the crowd left. 12 were left, one betrayed him, and when he brought the people who would deal with him, all of them fled. When you look at that, you will say, in our world today, Dr. Ebu, that's a failure. That pastor, Jesus, doesn't have anointing. Why are people always leaving his church? What we should ask ourselves is, what is it that he was teaching the people that made them leave? What is it that people found hard? It's calling you to a deeper place of work, a deeper commitment. No, I can't be committed. Just shows your character. Everybody must be committed to something, to someone. That's what keeps the world going. I round up with consistency. Let me tell us, one major thing we should be consistent about. And consistent means to be acting. Let me just give us a definition. Acting done in the same way over time. Behaving the same way. Behaving the same way. You are humble in defeat. You are humble in victory. That's consistency. You are humble when you had money. Sorry, you are humble when you didn't have money. And now you are rich. You are humble. You don't come and say levels are now different, man. I don't hang around with those guys on that side anymore. I hang with these guys now. Eye level. I've just discovered my niche. I've just discovered my crowd. So everybody now don't matter. I watch people. As a pastor, I'm telling you. And I'm so scared to say that I see some people, a little money, a little breakthrough. You can't talk to them again. You can't. No. No, I'm now, you know, those days, you know, no. What? And then some of you, they will be asking, what are you even still doing in that church? What are you, look at all your mates. They are all this. What are you still doing there? What are you still doing there? Listen, if you don't understand your purpose in life, you will be tossed to and fro by every wind of what are you still doing there. Listen, I want to say this by the Spirit of God, and I pray over this family that I'm about to mention. I have watched them over years, still the same as they were when they had nothing, and now that they are okay. I want to celebrate the Adigbolas that bring us all those videos you are watching. I have watched Philip. I've watched what's her name? I've watched Okwe. I've watched them over the years. Nothing phases these two people. I knew them when they had nothing. Nothing. I mean nothing. Still consistent. The same way they were. They were living in a shack somewhere in Walton there in those days. Now at least they have a decent house now. They have two cars parked in their garage. And they are blessed with other wonders. They are still the same. I'm just using that as an example of consistency. Philip will walk. And please, it's not about, just get me right. I'm not talking about what you're doing in church. I'm talking about character now. Philip got a job and he will walk overnight, close early in the morning, and he says if he knows he sleeps, he won't be able to make the service. He will come here before everybody, join all the people who come here very early, still do everything and go home to sleep. That's a man who understands his purpose. Very consistent. I've seen him when he didn't have money. At least he has some money now because I know he must be very rich because this week I told him, please, I'm looking for where I can get African food for my wife. My wife needs to eat and be merry. And he told me, okay, there's this place. The wife frantically started looking. And then he now sent me a text, please, when you find a place, just give me the bill. I'll pay for it. Don't clap because I didn't collect the money. He's still owing me. Anyway, what I'm just saying, consistent. You see that character. Your change in circumstances does not change who you are. That's what we're talking about. Just a little money, a little problem. I'm not a manager. So you want to come and be managing all of us in church now. I wish you all the best. Right? The Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Luke 18:1, one thing we must always be consistent to doing is praying. Asking God for help. Lord, I need you. Our dependency on God will show our consistency in life. And I will end with consider it. It means you are careful not to inconvenience or harm people by your action. Some of us don't know we are causing a lot of harm by saying, yes, I will do this, and then you don't do it. You don't know the harm. I'm not talking of hurt. Harm. I remembered 17 years ago. I think it's around 17. No, not 17. Maybe in the history of Love Assembly. You know, I say this to warn people. It's a warning, because when we preach Christ, we also warn people. This young man joins the church with his family, and they, oh, yeah, I can do this, I can do that, I'll do this for you, I'll do ah, yeah, let's say this, I'll do, I'll set the camera, ah, yeah, I'll do, ah, yeah, the media, ah, I'll do this, I'll do. All right, no problem. Felicia, the day I preach a message he doesn't like. He throws the camera and walks out of the church. We say it's him I'm preaching about. Excuse me, even if I preach about you, can't you be consistent to your commitment? And I always wonder, in all sincerity, if we come to preach, so we should be preaching about somebody who's not here. No, I'm asking you, when Paul was writing epistles, he was writing to the church in Corinth. It is reported among you that there's fornication. Some of you are sleeping with your father's wife. Whoever that is, let's just communicate him. He was talking to the church. Wasn't talking. It is reported in the church in Sapodonia. Let's pray for them there. No, he was addressing issues going on in people's lives in the church. But now, we get angry. I'm not going to that church again. It's preaching about me. Who do you want God to talk about? God loves you. God has to address issues in your life. Let me tell you, I've learned something. The people who really love me are those who would tell me, Fola, you are stupid, when truly I am stupid. Those are people who love me. Don't tell me, oh, Fola, it is well. You know, you are very good. You are just fantastically, you're fantastically not good, aka stupid, but, you know, you are not stupid. Those are the people who love me. The people who tell me the truth in love, even though it will hurt me. Ebu. God says it is the children he loves that he chastises. So let's be consistent in praying and asking God for help every time. Pray without ceasing. And then, please, whatever you are committing to, be considerate. The Bible says, consider your ways in the book of Haggai. You are affecting everybody, people, by what you do. I watch where I go, the things I do, what I say, because I have to consider my wife. And let me tell you this, I tell people, you better pray for me. If you're a member of this church, you're committed here, God forbid, if I do anything, you think it will affect you? I do anything evil? You think it will affect you? But I am considerate of the people who I'm serving. I'm leading. I don't want to lead anybody to hell. I'll close with this story. This was back in Nigeria when I used to, you know, this church I was pastoring. My wife had come to the UK then with our son then who was 2 years old. So I was left in Nigeria pastoring this big church. And of course, as a human being, when your wife is not around, you are not flesh, you are flesh and blood, you are not a spirit. I'm tempted. Serious, I faced the greatest temptations of my life. And thank God that I knew that I was a weak person. So I always cried out for help. I had people who were watching me. I had people, I made sure that they were watching my back to always ask me, where are you? But then, in my office, they knew I was a pastor also. I was, you know, a senior staff in a bank. And then I was now in charge of all the young, you know, the staffing, and then they send people for industrial training, to send people to do their national youth service. So I was in charge of them, and there was this, you know, there was this lady. Why are you looking at me like that? They want to hear gist. What should I tell them?
Go on.
I should go on. Yeah. Okay. I only listen to my wife. I'm under her authority. She speaks into my life. This is one of the people who influenced me. If you know the things she has influenced me to do that I didn't want to do somewhere. Good things, though. Good
thank
things. Yeah, thank you. She said thank you for qualifying. She never influences me to do evil. So that was this. And because this was office, and you know what office environment can be, and especially if you're working in the bank, can be a very loose environment because most men work away from where their families are. So most men in the bank are usually, no, okay. Men can be promiscuous, okay, because their families are not there. And now I was not in that category. So there was this, you know, this lady, single lady, And before anything, she didn't hide the fact that she liked me. And let me tell you one of the dangerous things when people come to tell you, you know, somewhere I like you. And you're a married man, and a young lady comes to tell you, you know, I like you. I just like you. If you meditate on I like you, day and night, you will observe to do all that is written therein. Anyway, cut a long story short, I was struggling day and night with temptation. In the office, temptation. I told myself, God, I am going to sin. I am going to commit adultery. My wife is not here. And those were the days, Samuel, where the telephone network, there was even no network then, you know, in Nigeria. I'm talking of, you know, early 2000s. This was 2001 precisely. That was when the GSM, whatever, network just came to Nigeria. So I couldn't talk to my wife regularly. We were apart. So, one day I was going to fall, Samuel. See the way everybody's looking at me. So I called her. And I had the most sincere, honest conversation. But I'm talking about consideration. Okay? And I said, I know what you want me to do. I know you want me and I want you. My body wants you. See, I've been without my wife now for almost a year. And I'm flesh and blood. I confess my weakness. And I said, I'm a pastor and you know. I said, I have hundreds of people looking up to me. I said, if I commit adultery with you, which my body wants to, yeah, I said it. I said, if I do it, number one, I will affect all the people, hundreds of people who look up to me. Some of them may even backslide and say, yeah, they are not following God anymore. I will disappoint them. I said, but the most dangerous thing, I made a vow to my wife. I was almost crying. Okay. I made a vow. I can't do it. I won't do it. Get away from me from today. Go away. We were in the office. Don't think we were in the club because the way you're looking at me. We're in the office. I said, sorry, I cannot do it with you. And from that day, I took back my life and I began to have the strength to flee from all appearance of evil. How strong are you? Let's bow our heads. Commitment, consistent, considerate. How committed are you? How considerate? How consistent? Are you the same when circumstances change? When you move from one bedroom to three bed, will you still be the same? Just a little breakthrough. A little change in circumstances and nobody can talk to you again. How consistent are you? How committed? And how considerate? Our actions affect other people. Father, I just pray right now, and I thank you because this is your church. I pray over everybody, myself inclusive. Lord, made myself real, vulnerable, and Lord, thank you. I pray you confirm your word, and I know you set somebody free right now. I know, even the child, you've planted the seed that the future, they will remember this story, and they will flee from every appearance of evil. Lord, I pray for everyone struggling right now. I pray for everyone going through adversity, trial, tribulation. Anyone that may be even mourning, blessed are those who mourn, you said, for they shall be comforted. I pray for the strength, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I pray that, Lord, your strength will come. We will all resist the devil and he will flee from us. And the strength will come and we will start fleeing from every appearance of evil. In the name of Jesus. Please pray for yourself. Just start praying for yourself. Receive strength right now. I don't know what you're battling with. I do not know the temptation you're facing right now. I do not know the trial you're going through. But I've just prayed. You've received strength. Now resist. Resist. Satan, we bind you. Principalities, you spirit of lust, we bind you. We resist you in the name of Jesus. You spirit of pride, you don't know that pride has already set in. Pride, the spirit of witchcraft, the spirit of rebellion, I resist you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, help, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on us all, oh God. Please pray for yourself. I'll just leave. Please, frankly, just play something while Inkem will take over. Inkem will take over and just pray a little while. Let me get out of the way. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for your time.